This is Lori Prox here with Brigham McGown of Alyeska Pipeline Service Company. So welcome to town. So nice to see you in person.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, you have been at the helm of Alyeska Pipeline Service Company for over a year now, but haven't gotten to see too many people in person because of the pandemic. So first off, welcome to Valdez and thanks for stopping by with an opportunity to talk with the community and with us here at KVAK Radio. So you're here for military appreciation. We're going to be airing this interview today is Monday, but this interview pre-recorded on Friday as you're here to talk with the troops about military appreciation. So that's a big weekend here, and tell us why that's important to you and Alyeska.
Sure. So my wife and I, Jackie, have to give a shout out to her as well, came down spending the weekend down here. You know, I think for it's really great to put a couple things together. We have obviously Memorial Day on Monday when we remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice in the defense of our country. And then combining that with Military Appreciation Weekend, I'm a vet myself, retired from the Navy. And, you know, we have quite a few employees within Alyeska and partners along TAPS that are also veterans themselves. And then wonderful festivities here that the city is rolling out for everybody this weekend. So we're just really excited to be a part of it.
And for folks who don't know, military appreciation usually involves different barbecues and events, and then also a day of fishing for many of the military members that are chosen to come down here. But also a shout out to the charter boats, because there's a lot of things donated on behalf of, you know, just a lot of private folks out there supporting this weekend. So shout out, I think fuel even, right? Like there's a lot of pieces that go together, not only Alyeska Pipeline, but smaller businesses and people jumping on board to make this happen every year. And I think it's, I don't know, Kate maybe knows this has been happening 7-8 years. It's been a long, yeah, almost a decade.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's really wonderful that we can do that because, you know, as we move forward, we were talking about this earlier today. Yeah, the percent of our population has served in the military, and clearly not everybody needs to serve in the military, but there's a lot of sacrifice that these military members make and that their families make while they're gone on deployment or the hardships that endure. So I think it is absolutely wonderful that the community can come together like this.
Well, tell us a little bit about your time and yourself and what other things, now that we can all get out and about, we expect to see you here in Valdez for.
Yeah, well, you know, I was able to come down in January and February of last year when I just had first started, and the intent is to be down here every month for a few days at least. I mean, first of all, Valdez means a lot to Alyeska, and obviously we have the terminal there, but without this city, you know, Alaska oil doesn't move anywhere. So it is vital not only to Alyeska and TAPS as a whole, but to the state as well and to the country. So it's very important, and we have a very important community partnership that we've had for many, many years. And so I look forward to coming down and learning about the city, learning about all the different parts of it, and how we all work together as a community. So that's really what I'm looking forward to doing now that we can get out and do those things.
You know, what do you see as the biggest challenge to working with Valdez and you know, as a company?
Yeah, I would say we have a very good partnership, and we worked very closely with the city during the pandemic and talked about mutual aid response. You know, your hospital here is very small number of beds, and we have other resources. And so we worked with the city on how to ensure that we weren't spreading COVID and also assuring the city that if they needed anything, Alyeska stood ready to assist. And so I think that's very important. Challenges, I don't think there's so much challenges with Valdez per se. I think there are challenges in the greater energy industry right now. One, we're recovering from historic low prices as a result of COVID due to demand destruction, which is a fancy term for people aren't using oil during the pandemic. And then also the fact that we're finding oil in more and more places, so it's readily available in other places, which means Alaska has to be able to compete on that global stage for the product. And then obviously the world is changing. We're seeing renewables taking a larger piece. And even we're trying to do our part to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and look for other ways that we can be even more environmentally sustainable here. So those are challenges that are not going to go away, and they'll continue over, you know, these next few years.
And not to mention a change in leadership. So you could go 100 different directions with that one, but with getting permitting, and that's become a lot more challenging with our current administration.
Yeah, I'd like to think that we can work well with administrations from either party. For example, when I was in government, I worked for a Democratic cabinet secretary who reported to a Republican president. Those days hopefully aren't gone, but when it came to certain things like infrastructure, transportation, a lot of energy, the answers were always very bipartisan. And I think, like the rest of the country, things have gotten more polarized than they used to, which is a shame. And frankly, we have to figure out a way out of that, and we have to listen to each other. And I think that's important not only for the relationship that we have here in Valdez, but as a country. And one of the things that we've wanted to do is to bring some of the new administration officials up here so that they can see and understand just how we operate, why what we do is necessary, and have a greater appreciation for the state. And just this last week, you know, the Biden administration reaffirmed their commitment to the Trump administration's approval for ConocoPhillips to drill out in the National Petroleum Reserve out west of Prudhoe Bay. And that was something that Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland was opposed to before her confirmation. But, you know, it was the Alaska delegation that helped get her confirmed. So I think you're seeing that working relationship continue.
Well, I was going to get to that behind the scenes with Governor Dunleavy. I know that he has been vocal about trying to open up different avenues for the oil industry. So what are your major hurdles there in terms of at the governor's level and then representation and being heard? I think that's how do you find that avenue?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. You know, the Alaska delegation is very influential, very small, right? We just have two senators and a congressman, and but they're
ingrained.
They are. Well, they
are.
Yeah, they are, but they're very influential in D.C. And as somebody that used to be a federal myself, that used to be a federal regulator in D.C., and I know how things work there, it's still a small town. A lot of people come and go, but the core people that are there have to work together, and they have these relationships. And really, the Alaska delegation punches way above its physical mass. And you know, Senator Murkowski had a lot to do, along with the governor and Senator Sullivan, and even our congressman, in getting some of these things done. So, you know, I think a lot of it is education. We've worked tirelessly, I think, certainly since I've been up here and well before, timeline-wise, to make sure that people in the lower 48, policymakers, decision makers, understand the importance of being able to utilize our land to produce resources here in Alaska, and how important it is for the economy.
Well, in politics is a big part of your job naturally, but so is operations. So I wanted to hit that as well. So I know you've done some spring vessel training here in Prince William Sound. So what are you working on there, and what do you bring to the table? What do you envision in terms of operations in the coming years?
Yeah, so for us, something that would really help our operations, obviously, is more oil in the pipeline. You know, from a heyday of 2.1 million barrels a day, we're averaging below 500,000 barrels a day now. So, you know, from an operational standpoint, we can certainly use more oil. And as we get more oil, it's actually better for the pipeline. At the same time, we have done various studies that suggest that we're not in threat from low production either. And we figured out how to configure the pipeline to accept more oil or less oil than we currently accept. And that gives us operational flexibility. But really for us, from an operations standpoint, it's really all about safety and reliability. We have to continue to move the oil, but we have to do that safely. And, you know, we're getting older, right? Not just me, but you guys are still really young, but you know, the pipeline's getting older. And so we have to take care of it. And that means reinvestment in the line. And so we are putting a lot of resources back into the line, and we'll continue to do that. We think that that makes the line safer and more efficient. And, you know, from the perspective of Vessel of Opportunity, some of our other training, it's really important to be ready to train, to train, to train. Hope is you'll never need it, but we always have to be prepared, and we're going to continue to focus on those efforts too.
So what are some of the strange things that have happened? We're doing Travel and Tourism Week here this next week, and we've kind of delved into the back end of a lot of the different businesses in town, because due to the pandemic, that's been very exposed. You know, we really had to ask for the help of people in our community to support our local businesses because they faced a really uncertain future. And so right now, you may not be able to get something into a retail store because the rubber used to make this one part. So walking into a store, you can't say, yeah, why don't they have this? Because it may not be available. The distribution channels are crazy in terms of ordering. But so what are some of the strange things or the unique challenges that COVID presented for your business, Alyeska Pipeline?
Sure. Well, I think for us, clearly, even on a good year, that supply chain network requires a lot of planning up front. You know, there, to your point, there are long lead times to get things that you need up here. And so one of the things that really struck us last year was that we had work that couldn't be done. And then we had to have some work accelerated because as lower 48 was using less oil, the oil was starting to pile up literally in inventory. And so we had to create some extra space by getting some work done more quickly to put one of our main tanks back into service, which we did. But really, it's about stability and consistency. So this year, we have a lot of work going on. And, you know, when you sometimes can't get people up here like last year, well, you can't push that work off forever. You have to do that work, and we have to do all the work that we'd planned on doing this year anyway. So it's a very busy year for us, and that means loading up things 6 to 12 months in advance. And so far we're on track and we're on schedule. We'll have a hiccup at some point. It's inevitable, but getting the people, the supplies, the materials, everything we need into position, it's, you know, we have people that are really sharp and do this day in and day out, and they're very well organized, thank goodness. Far, far more organized than I am.
Well, and not just COVID challenges, but you're going to have a little bit of Alaska challenges as well in terms of, so welcome to the state of Alaska.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
You said you're enjoying it. So what are you finding challenging, interesting, enjoyable here in Alaska?
Yeah, I really do enjoy it. And thankfully, my father and my dad brought me up here when I was 14. It was the first time I came to the state, and got to go all over the state with him. And what some will remember is the old Ween Air Alaska flights, and I've been coming up here ever since, and then started bringing my family up here when they were old enough. But, you know, it's one thing to come up in the spring or fall. It's another thing to live here year-round. So now I've gone through two winters, and, you know, some of the challenges are, as you pointed out, if a store is out of something, it, you know, may be out of something for a while. And you can't always count on, like you can lower 48, just grabbing something real quickly. So, you know, that's been a challenge. But we have really loved living up here. And you were speaking with my wife before the interview. And, you know, the family's very excited about being up here. They love it. And, you know, when I talked to them about the chance to live up here full time, everybody just jumped at it. And it's not been disappointing at all. It's been fantastic. And quite frankly, that slightly slower pace of life, and I think Alaskans tend to get along together. And that's something we're really enjoying.
All right. And Valdez in particular, what are some of your plans here for the future and working with, you know, not just the city, but the community and employees here? We have a lot of great Alyeska folks here.
Yeah, we do. So just left a military appreciation luncheon over at the terminal where we were getting together with other veterans company. And, you know, I think I really enjoy that interaction, learning a lot from those kind of interactions. I'm also on the Valdez Volunteer Fire Brigade, so I'm a firefighter. and I've been training with the team and doing everything that they do. That's been fascinating and wonderful experience.
Shout out to Sean and the crew.
Yeah, Sean, thank you so much, Chief. And when I work for him, he's the chief, and I'm a firefighter. I'm not the president. And, you know, I wash the fire trucks and pull hose and do everything else everyone else has to do. And that's how I learn, is by getting out and doing things. And so I've learned that. Some good food. There's a really good hamburger place right across around the corner. I'm not sure if
you can't say names.
Any
yeah.
names.
But, no, you can't.
But love that. And really just enjoy getting out into the community and seeing everything that Valdez has to offer. It's wonderful.
All right. Well, welcome. Is there anything else you want to add? Well, it's great to have you in the studio and share info. You're welcome anytime if we have updates. And if we've done so many interviews the last, we've had, you know, governor's office on and doctors and
right.
mental health. And yeah, so Alyeska, glad to have you at the table.
Well, thanks. We're glad to be here, and we're glad to have that feedback with the community. And I'll give a shout out to the RCAC. You know, it's a good partnership that we have with them, and they bring a unique perspective, a very good perspective to what we're trying to do. And, you know, I think we see ourselves as part of the community and want to be a good corporate neighbor and a good friend of the community. And, help be part of that economic engine for the city as well. And we'll continue to do that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay.